Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, August 31st, 2008. It is now about 8:01 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized itself serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Folks, there's 5 open lines. Let me hear from you. I know you're out there. Now, you can email me at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. And if you're listening to a rebroadcast, it'll be after the live broadcast, obviously. You may phone in your comments to 918-919-0101. That's 918-919-0101. Go to my website. All that information is there. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Now, not investment issues so much, but economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. And don't be afraid to do that. Don't be afraid to learn. I have friends who just hesitate learning stuff. And as a result, they're going to get caught real short. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that 2 is a numeric 2. Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. We also have a little map where you can put a pin as to where you're listening from. If you would do that, that would be kind of neat. We only have a few people who have done that so far. Please do so. I would appreciate it very much. Okay, good evening, everyone. Before we get started, I'd like to read a couple of emails from Tom. Tom is from Chile, and his emails are quite long, so I'll try to abbreviate them if I can. And he says, "My country no longer exists. I was born in the hills of Virginia back in 1942. That makes him 61 years old. He's 1 year older than I am. I would love to go back, but realize that my country no longer exists. I really enjoy your broadcast. Very nostalgic. How the USA used to be. Have recommended to my little brother, who is still trapped up there, but no doubt he will listen. Thank you so much, Tom." He says he agrees with me for some reason, 100% with my views, very common sense views. "You will be branded a nutcase, so there is no danger in your life to your life. Seem like anyone who understands what is going on is just branded a weirdo." You know, that is so true, Tom. "I have been called a nut since about 1956. I left the USA 15 years ago and have no plans of returning. I just cannot identify with the values of the USA people." Thank you so much, Tom. That is heartwarming. It's unfortunate, you know, but I certainly appreciate your candor. He has sent me another email. He sent me some very interesting ones. This one has to do with John McCain. He says, "Thanks again for your broadcast. Your comments on John McCain as a war hero reflects my sentiments. And why does he not reimburse the government for the plane he wrecked? What really gets me is the fact that him being a POW in a POW camp makes him more competent to govern the country. And why is he not attempting to close the prison in Guantanamo Bay?" And he goes on with that thought. Absolutely right, Tom. You know, they talk a good game, and then when it comes down to actually doing the right thing, there seems that a lot of politics get in the way. This evening, folks, I want to talk a little bit about Barack Obama's acceptance speech. No doubt many of my listeners, if not every one of them, have watched part or all of it. I doubt if everyone would say they did not watch any of it. Now, I did not want to watch it at all. I'll be very honest with you. I had no desire to listen to it. My wife forced me. She says, I want to listen to it. You're going to listen to it. And then you can use it as a subject for your next broadcast. And she made a good point. I said, I should listen to it because I have a radio program that I discuss these issues and I shouldn't be totally in the dark. And I did listen to him. Now, from an evaluation point of view, let's be honest, this fella is charismatic. This fella had millions of people absolutely glued on him, and his speaking style is second to none. The way he approaches he gets on the podium, he approaches the lectern, and he stands there, and he does something that most speakers have a difficult time doing, not saying anything. And he allowed the audience to literally work themselves in a frizzy, just applauding for him. And he must have said, thank you very much, well over a dozen times, maybe 20 times. But he laced that with enough pregnant pauses, as they call them in the speaking business, that it made each time he said it, it became more and more effective rather than tiring. He also, the most important factor of his acceptance speech is that he truly knows his audience. He truly understands his audience. Now, folks, when I say that, unfortunately, that is not a compliment to the audience. Just think for a moment. What if he would have given that speech to members of the Foundation of Economic Education? He would not have been in that speech for more than 5 minutes when they probably would have asked him to sit down. They didn't have time for that rubbish. What if he tried to give that speech to members of the American Institute of Economic Research? What if he tried to give that speech to the Economics Forum? Or to a college that was studying or majors in economics? I mean, they would have said, well, you know, that was didn't make any sense. Now, my wife was so impressed, and my wife's a libertarian, and she was so impressed with his performance. And I have to admit, his performance was stellar. I mean, could not have done better. In fact, I understand that more people watched that than they watched any other program in the history of TV. But this is what, and people left so inspired. I don't know what from, but so inspired. They felt so connected. They felt so cohesive, as a cohesive one with the universe. Even my wife almost shed a tear. She said, you know, we need someone. She says it's not all that bad because we need someone to be someone that we can look up to, just like JFK put us on the moon. You know, he's really organizing the masses and motivating the masses to act as one and a whole bit. And she almost had tears in her eyes. Now, I said, oh boy, this can be a real argument that I will regret for the rest of my life. And we talked a little bit about it, and it was a very tense comment. And my wife's a libertarian, which I could not understand. But that's how emotionally he affects people. He is so effective. But now I'd like to evaluate a speech. You see, there have been several articles written about him. And, for example, Here's one. This is from Sheldon Richman. He's with the Future of Freedom Foundation. He's a senior fellow. Excellent. I follow his writings monthly. And he says, so Barack Obama, the man who promises to reform Washington, has picked his running mate, someone who has been a fixture of the U.S. Senate nearly his entire adult life, Senator Joseph Biden. Of course, had no trouble accepting the honor. Insider, outsider, he's whatever you're looking for. When Biden was running for president, he said of Obama, right now I don't believe he's ready to be president. The presidency is something that does not lend itself to on-the-job training. Now he says Obama's a wise leader. A leader who can deliver. A leader who can deliver the change we need. What changed Biden's mind? Well, basically he saw that Obama could win the election. Obama's last primary opponent, Hillary Clinton, also thought he was unqualified to be president. She tried to frighten us with the thought that he'd be the one to answer the ringing red White House phone at 3 a.m. Now she thinks otherwise. When Barack Obama is in the White House, he'll revitalize our economy, defend the working people of America, and meet the global challenges of our times. George Orwell, who understood the nature of politics like no one else, defined doublethink in his novel 1984 as the power of holding two contradictory beliefs in one's mind simultaneously and accepting both of them. And that is exactly what we've been getting from these clowns. And here's another article. This is written by Gene Healy. It's August 28th from the Christian Science Monitor. And he says, we need a president, not a savior. What moved Barack Obama to seek the presidency was the basic idea of empathy and the notion that if we see someone down and out, we care for them. Republican John McCain explained that he was running to inspire a generation of Americans to serve a cause greater than their self-interest. Noble sentiments, to be sure, but the original Constitution scheme, the president was neither empathy in chief nor a national life coach. His role was to faithfully execute the laws, defend the country from attack, and check Congress with the veto power whenever it exceeded its constitutional bounds, something that we heard nothing about in any of the speeches from anyone. Folks, let me tell you the way I felt after listening to that speech. I felt absolutely depressed. I was in such a bad mood afterwards. I was in such a low mood, I could not shake it off for 2 days. You say, well, why? It was such an incredibly uplifting speech. The reason why I felt that way is that I wrote down what he said, and I'm going to repeat some of the things that he said, word for word. Now, I may have a couple of words off because I had to jot down things pretty quickly as he was speaking, but the intent would be the same. And for people to believe that, to know that millions of people not only believe it, but were inspired by illogical idiocy, speaks nothing, says nothing of our populace. And we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. May I thank you for calling? Your first name and where you're calling from, please.
I'm Guy from New York.
Guy, this is the same guy that's called in before. How are you, Guy?
How are you doing?
Fine. I'm doing very, very well.
All right. First off, I don't find anything about Barack Obama as charismatic. I don't find his persona anything worthwhile to talk about. I don't find his speech patterns, his way of speaking at the podium, anything impressive. I think anybody who does find him impressive is being impressed by the media. And that's how the media gets people to go along with their subtle but very powerful types of influences.
Good
but
point.
I want to get off that for a subject. I want to put you on the spot.
Sure.
And I want to put you on the spot symbolically for, with other talk radio hosts.
Fine.
If you don't mind.
No, no, please okay. do.
All right. I am a frustrated...
Oh, just let me... Excuse me. Let me mention one thing. I'm. Okay. I need to go off at 8:30, and I do have some other points to make. So, if we can keep this within 5 minutes, I'd appreciate it. Okay, Guy.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you a question.
Surely.
And you can answer.
Yeah. Thank you. I don't mean to shut you off. I wish I had more time. I just don't this evening.
All right. I want you to tell me, and your listeners, what is it that you think you personally have done in a significant fashion to help America preserve its freedom? I said I was going to put you on the spot.
Oh, yeah, that's a darn good question because I've never thought of that before, you know? That's a good one. I have never thought of myself in that regard, but let's put it this way. Let me see if I can look at it from some sort of perspective, which I have not done before. I guess we can look at it one of two ways. We can look at it from a perspective where I have joined some sort of movement or lobbied Washington or whatever, or just did what I did without being an imposition on anyone else, in you know, the government or anyone else. And
okay.
I guess my answer would be the latter. I had never been politically active. I've never gone to Washington with a sign and marched or whatever. But one thing that I have done is I've always questioned my ability to think. I have never thought that I was a good thinker, and as a result, right. I always read, whenever someone said anything, I said, that sounds good, now what's wrong with it? And I became a critical thinker.
Let me cut you off, John.
Sure.
Because you only have a few minutes
yes.
left, and then you're going to cut me off.
Okay.
You only have about a minute left. What you're saying is I'm a critical thinker. And most libertarians are. We're very astute politically, but we're not very politically savvy.
That's correct.
The reason I ask you the question is because we haven't done a damn thing. Either you haven't, I haven't, most libertarians, most populists, most people haven't. And I thought of that because we didn't elect Ron Paul. We had maybe 1 million, 2 million people who
right.
really liked him but didn't,
right.
but couldn't elect him because of the party and the system.
Right.
So what needs to be done is effective change. Not being on a talk show, not blogs, not websites. There are 40 million websites for Ron Paul, maybe 3 million for Hillary, maybe there's more.
Right.
The thing is that we have got to change the system, and not by working within it. And unless people have that type of attitude, all everybody else is doing, the people in the power structure, are just laughing at
them. That's right. absolutely right. I agree.
40 years civil rights, you know, who cares? Labor unions, they've got some power. The Native Americans, the Indians, they're the prime example
right.
of people who have been shafted.
Absolutely, correct.
And I'm asking you to think about this, because if you continue on with your talk show, it's going to be interesting, it's going to be entertaining, it might even inspire people, which I'm thinking you want, that's what you want. You want people to be inspired to do something. But what are we going to do? We have to do something critical, effective, and make a significant impact. In other words, we have to change laws. We can't just elect certain people at certain positions and hope that they get to be president.
That's
we
correct.
We have to do something. So, okay, I'm sorry to have interrupted you.
No, that's okay. A couple of things that I attempted to do, I did run for U.S. Congress and lost, and that was an interesting exercise.
That was good.
Of course, I don't, you know, I have no way of evaluating the effectiveness of this radio program, but this is a tremendous amount of work, Guy. I mean, I can't tell you, every day, about five times a day, I'm closing the station down because it is that much work. And I, you know, I'm retired now, and I'm not. I'm not playing at all. I mean, I'm always studying, reading, working with the station and whatever. And I think I'm almost working harder now than I was when I had my own business. And hopefully, if enough people are out there listening and thinking, maybe the change of mindset will set in. I know I'm only one of millions, you know, so hopefully that'll help.
It won't. Yeah. Let's say, for example, you influenced personally about 2 million, 3 million people to become very rah-rah peace activists like you and I are.
Right.
If we don't affect change, all we are activists.
Right.
And an activist doesn't mean a damn thing.
That's correct.
Unless your mindset is of, I've got to change the laws, and well, the primary law is getting the president to be elected on a write-in ballot.
Right.
Because if we don't change the SEC rule, FEC rule, we'll never get anybody elected.
That's correct.
That will mean change.
Yeah, our whole election system is wrong. You know, the all or nothing thing is wrong. It's terrible. I mean,
all of 535, including Ron Paul, are either corrupt, weak, or stupid.
Yeah.
There have been times that Ron Paul himself could have confronted Ben Bernanke on certain questions to reveal how the Federal Reserve is really bankrupting America, but he doesn't do it.
Well, I've heard him on the congressional hearings, and he's hidden between the eyes, and Bernanke basically never responded to him.
He just said, we're
concerned about that, too, and we're watching it very closely, you know, some innocuous statements such as that. Okay,
no,
guy.
Jim Bunning.
I'm sorry? I interrupted you.
Bunning did a better job than Ron Paul did. I'm thinking Ron Paul is probably smart enough not to really do it because he'll get killed.
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah. There's always a concern that, you know, there's a lot of power people out there, right.
He has a lot of guts, but he doesn't confront one-on-one. He revealed the neocons and the congressional record. He revealed the collusion of the central banks on the congressional record. But when it comes to one-on-one, he's smart enough not to really do it. Bunning not only chastised Bernanke, but practically stripped him bare naked. But Bunning isn't a real threat.
Right.
But the thing is that if we as Americans don't, I'm not talking about demonstrating in the street, because you'll get picked off by the cops.
Right.
I'm not talking about writing to your congressman, because they'll ignore you. I'm talking about having political power, having money, and doing it in a way that all of us can work together.
Right.
If we do, we libertarians think we're candles in the dark, and that if we have 500,000, a million candles in the dark, we're all of a sudden a roaring volcano.
Right.
We're not a roaring volcano.
That's right.
We don't work together.
Well, maybe with the Ron Paul movement, we'll see more of that now. But I need to get back onto the program because I only have about 6 minutes left, guy. I want to thank you very much, and I'm really apologize for shutting you off so early.
No,
okay,
no problem,
I hope you understand that.
I hope you and I get the America we're fighting for.
Right, I'm with you on that. Thank you so much, guy. Good night.
Take care.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Oh, boy, that was a guy from New York. He's called in a couple of times, but I do want to get back to the Obama speech. And I said I was depressed because here we are. We have Americans crying and just throwing themselves to the screen, people crying and chanting, you name it. And I'm thinking to myself, how stupid could you be? And that chasm bothers me. How we can stop thinking and just believe anything that people say. What he said was almost clinically insane. And I want to go through a few of them. We only have a few minutes, but I'm going to go through them very, very quickly. You know, he talked about the waitress who could look after her sick child without losing her job. Well, baby, if she was an excellent waitress and she had a good job history, and she had a sick child, you think, I mean, what person to say, Margaret, I know you've been here for 10 years and you've been an excellent waitress and I know your child is sick, but if you go home, you're fired. I mean, where does he come from? He is branding, and when he says that, he is branding every small business owner, you know, as a bloodthirsty capitalist that cares nothing. absolutely nothing for people whatsoever, other than the profit that they can make using, you know, with the through the efforts of others. How dare he make that assumption? How dare he? My employees all the time have problems at home and everything, and I tell them, you come first, you do what you need to do, we'll explain it to the customer, and if the customer doesn't understand, they can go someplace else. Now, why didn't he mention that? Oh, that got me so angry. And he says he wants to know, you know, what is the American promise? There is no American promise. There's absolutely none. No one promised anyone anything when they came here. They said you work hard, no intrusion by anybody else, provided you don't inflict your values on anyone else, and you can do what the heck you want and go where you want to go. And he says business should play by the rules. So, government can do what we cannot do on our own. Since when? Since when? And there's absolutely no proof of that. In fact, if anything, the government can screw up anything that we can't do on our own. And he wants to ensure opportunity. We already have opportunity. What we have is a lack of drive, of initiative. That's what we have, Mr. Obama. And he says, I'm my brother's keeper. Well, I'm very glad. That means no one else is, and that we're going to need the government to remind us. He wants to change the tax code. He's going to go line item by line item and reduce every unnecessary department. Are you kidding me? Are you going to say, hey, I looked at this department. You guys are worthless. You've been around for 42 years. You're toast. All 3,000 out on the street. I'd like to hear that. And he just talked about the capitalist owner not giving the waitress some time off for her sick child. He's throwing a whole bunch of people, probably tens of thousands of people, out into the street. He wants to cut taxes, but 95% of the people never happen. He says we have dependence on oil. He says we have an oil addiction. You're not addicted to oil. We're not addicted to air or food. We just use it because it's readily available and it makes us productive. He wants to have clean coal. Oh boy, that'll be costly. And it makes it easier for people to afford new cars. That's not the president's responsibility. And every child a world-class education. Oh, yeah? You mean we have lousy teachers and great students, right? We have great students and lousy teachers, and he's going to fix that. No, we have great teachers. We have lousy students. And there's nothing you can do about that, Mr. Obama. And he wants to invest in recruit legions of new leaders with higher teachers with higher salaries. Oh, yeah? Not in the school system, government school system we have that really reeks. And he wants everyone to serve their community. And everyone should be able to afford a college education. No, they should not. Neither should many people go to college, because college is a ticket to nowhere. There are many plans he has, which would cost money. He says eliminating those programs that don't work, will make us more efficient and provide us with the income. Well, folks, let me tell you this. There is no way he is going to go through literally hundreds of thousands, maybe if I say hundreds of thousands, but at least 100,000 pages of government programs, and he's going to sit in the White House determining which ones are ineffective. Do you think anyone is going to come forward and say, oh, am I glad you're president, because, you know, the department that I work in, where we really don't do jack, and we all make a very good salary that we're guaranteed for life, and we get 5-6 weeks vacation a year plus 2 weeks sick pay, and if we don't take the sick pay, What we do is we get paid anyway, we get extra salary, and we get 2 weeks off during Christmas. Do you think these people are going to volunteer to quit? They're going to fight tooth and nail. They're going to justify their department. I don't care what their department is. They're going to justify it as if it's the most important department in the world. And even if you thought that they were ineffective, do you say, well, you're ineffective, guys. We're shutting you down, and we're going to save the government $2.5 million a year. Do you think that has that ever happened? No, and it never will happen. In fact, if they do close a department, which they never will, those people will get transferred in another worthless government department, Mr. Obama. You know that, and so do I. And he wants guarantee affordable health care. Well, you're not a doctor, Mr. Obama. You're not in the healthcare system, Mr. Obama. You are just a politician who's paid by taxpayer money. That's all you've done all your life. Why don't you go out and get a regular job and find out what it's really like? Why don't you have your own business and find out what it's like to make payroll and to put up with all your stupid government regulations? And he wants to ensure that the insurance companies care for those who need the most. That's not the job of the insurance companies to go out and find out who needs the most. The insurance companies are a business. You buy insurance. If you're sick and your insurance covers it, they'll pay it. If you're sick and your insurance company and you don't have the type of insurance that doesn't pay it, they ain't paying squat. And there's nothing you can do about it. And that's the way it works. And that's the way it should work. And I don't want that changed. I have insurance, and yet I pay some pretty heavy bills because I elect to have the insurance that I want. And he also wants to change the banking laws and to make it more equal and have people afford their mortgage. It's not the government's business to make people, to ensure people can afford their mortgages. It's up to the bozos who get the loans. It's up to our egregious people who go out and put themselves in debt. And as the interest rate goes down, they just afford to buy more and more and more. If they can afford an Audi, but the interest rates go down, they'll go to a BMW. They'll keep on going up and up and up, provided they can afford the payments. And then if something happens, oh, they can't afford it. No one says, you know, I'm not going to buy a car. I'm going to walk to work. Ain't worth it. That's what we did during the Depression. You know, Mr. Obama. I don't, you know, I can go on for an hour. I can literally go on for an hour. You know, he's against the war in Iraq, but what he wants to do is redeploy the troops in Afghanistan and make them available so that we can threaten Iran. He is not a peace candidate. He is very much a war candidate, and Joe Biden is a Zionist, which is going to make things even worse. And by the way, he's a Zionist by his own admission. He has said this publicly. This is not the hearsay or anything like that. And he said that the party of JFK FDR and JFK, who fought in World War I, and the other one who died for his country, you know, we're not afraid. You know, well, you read your history, Mr. Obama, and how FDR put us in the war, and how he is responsible for all of the men and women who died on Pearl Harbor that day. Do your reading, do some research, and leave my emotions alone, because I'm getting pissed. I don't understand. You know, and everyone is so damned impressed. I mean, so damned impressed. I think if I had a couple of hours, I could have gone line item by line item regarding his speech. And it did nothing for me but depress me. And there's a comment here that I want to make. It says, toxic and I don't know, someone, I did not say this. This is not original. I'll be honest with you. Toxic demagoguery of all the candidates who are proposing new ways to spend the taxpayers' money in this way. You know, you, Mr. Obama, have been most effective. The only good news is that today is that that I have today is that the person that John McCain picked as vice president is very attractive. Now, I don't agree with everything she says, but she is a fan of Ron Paul's. But I think McCain would be a disaster to be a president, and Obama would be just as much a disaster. So we don't have any hope and a prayer of winning there in either case. Well, folks, this is the end of tonight's broadcast, and I have to bring this to a close. In fact, I'm over my time. I'm going to get chastised for that. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Grant Shaker's Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated, your life is in your own hands, but with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. Without government interference, by the way. That's the free life, folks. Embrace it. Ron Paul has a sign in his desk that says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.